I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Appropriately timed for the 50th anniversary of the Vancouver Opera and the 30th anniversary next year of the Pacific Opera Victoria, comes a new book from Harbor Publishing, Bravo, The History of Opera in British Columbia. It's a lavishly laid out book with exquisite photographs and a history of the opera that's not academic and dry, rather accessible and fascinating. If you're like me and have never been to the opera, this is a great entry point into this form of artistic endeavor that's been around for well over a century. You have behind-the-scenes accounts of the production companies and the shows they've mounted and the stars they've brought to town. The author of Bravo, Rosemary Cunningham, joins me now. She's a longtime season ticket holder of the Vancouver Opera, which just last Friday opened its season with a 50th anniversary gala concert. Following her retirement as a librarian, Rosemary Cunningham began a second career as a writer, and Bravo is her first book. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Rosemary Cunningham. Good morning, Ms. Cunningham.
Good morning, Mr. Planta.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How did this book come about?
I've been, as you have said, a long time a fan of the opera, but about, oh, I would say 2004, 2005, I was sitting in the house listening one evening and thought, you know, you've been sitting here for such a long time and you've never spent any time thinking about what goes into the creation of an opera. So perhaps it's time to do that. I began to do a little bit of research, and one thing led to another, and I thought, well, this is beginning to grab me. So I began to set it down.
And a lot goes into a production. I mean, I'm just looking at the photographs of the sets and the sort. The sets are I would say 10 times probably as more lavish or more I don't know what the word is, more artistic seems like a foolish word, but they just seem far better than the sets that we would see at regular theatrical productions, are they?
It depends. There are two things going on with sets these days. Quite often, operas will share sets, which reduces the expense, of course. And another movement is minimalism, where they leave a great deal to the audience's imagination by putting the very barest things on the stage and letting you build on that in your mind.
Now, are you a fan of minimalism?
Yes, I am. I like to be able to use my imagination. On the other hand, I love to see something like Der Rosenkavalier with all its wonderful elegance as well.
But a lot goes into a production, and you were able to see that first. And how long is a run, say, at the Vancouver Opera, typically?
How many performances?
Yeah.
Four or five. Let's see, Saturday. Five,
yeah.
Five is a common.
Mm-hmm. And because they're not as long as, say, a show that that would run at one of the local theater companies, is it because of just the demands on say, the vocalists or the artists, or is it just the demand from customers?
I think it is probably a combination of both, but singing is singing and playing music is a very, very physically taxing piece, you know, work. So singers do have to have a chance to rest their voice, and musicians do have a chance, do need a chance to have a break in between in performances.
Now, the gala concert Friday night, I assume you were there?
I was.
What was that like?
Oh, it was just wonderful. The very well-known Vancouver, several very well-known Vancouver artists could not be there, and they had interviews with them on large screens. Richard Margeson, for example, was in the Met, in New York, singing at the Met. Judith Forrest was in Chicago, singing with the Lyric Opera there. But the house was full. Everyone was excited. The program was wonderful. It was a real celebration.
What do you think sets opera apart from the other forms of theater and music that we've seen in this province over the last century or so?
Sets it apart. Well, opera is what I regard as a sublime art form. It combines music, drama, a visual component that really it doesn't exist in any other art form.
And the first performances of opera in Victoria were in 1877.
That's right.
And Vancouver in 1891. Was there a great demand for it?
Well, there must have been, because those were very small places. You know, Victoria at the time had fewer than 3,000 people. Vancouver was fewer than 14,000. And to have a demand at that point, I think, is quite remarkable.
And you talked about in the book some of the universal themes depicted in opera,
mm-hmm.
that have made it a big draw. They're appealing to the masses, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
Is that still the case today?
Yes, definitely. All of those things that human beings experience throughout their lives are reflected in the libretto, the music. Yeah, it's very much the case. Now, having said that, there are new operas that have a little more current experience associated with them. For example, Vancouver Opera is going to be doing Nixon in China,
right?
Coming up in the spring, which has political implications, of course, the older ones, but nevertheless, at the time.
Do you know much about that show?
No, I've never seen it. I understand that the music is beautiful, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. Do you find that the audiences that go to the opera today, especially in Vancouver, are they diverse in terms of the classes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You see people from all walks of life, all kinds of dress, different ethnic backgrounds. It's a very diverse, young, old, in between.
And so it is conducive to the young, right?
Yes, it's very attractive to the young, I think, becoming more so.
Well, we've heard of financial problems associated with the ballet company here.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the opera companies are not immune?
No, of course not, and particularly in view of the dismal news of the arts funding. They're going to have to sharpen their pencils and tighten their belts and launch more vigorous fundraising to try and make up the shortfall. I think it's really a very unfortunate situation.
In the book, you mentioned that your first operatic experience was seeing Aida at the Strand Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the Strand?
Strand was on the... It would be the northwest corner of Georgia and Seymour, directly across from the bay.
Now, was that a big house compared to say, the Orpheum?
I think it was probably about the same size as the Orpheum. No, it wasn't the same size. It didn't have the upper levels. It was probably smaller.
So who took you to see Aida?
My mother. I begged her to. I was brought up in New Westminster, and in a musical family. And first, I discovered that this opera was going to be on, and I had been listening to the opera for many years on the Saturday afternoon broadcasts. And the chance to see a live one, I thought, was something I didn't want to miss. So my mother agreed to take me.
And how old were you?
I guess I was about 13, 14.
Yeah. So you go there, and it fulfills all of your fantasies about what opera is, right?
Oh, well, of course it exceeds them, because yeah. I've never seen a live opera before. I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
It was riveting.
Did you find that, because you've been to a lot of operas over the years, do you find that the experience is the same still, that you go in there with the same sort of wonderment?
I do.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy about that. I look forward to everyone. And I always come away richer for it, even though there may be things about it that I didn't care for very much. But there's always something to come away with.
Did you enjoy musical theater as well?
Yes, I like that. I like all art forms, really.
Yeah. Now, one of the important people that you talk about in the book is Irving Guttman.
Mm-hmm.
Who was he?
He was, at the time the Vancouver Opera Association was established, Irving was a young man living in Montreal, based in Montreal, and just beginning his career as a stage director. I don't know how the Vancouver Opera Association heard of him, but they did, and they had the good fortune to ask him to come out to direct the first opera. And he, of course, as he says, didn't turn anything down in those days. His career was just getting started. So he came, and a very happy turn of events that was, because he was the absolute perfect person for the job at the time.
You mentioned Judith Forst.
Yes.
She's still singing, right?
Oh, definitely.
I remember her because I used to listen to Frosty Forest, and he mentioned her from time to time. I guess that's his sister-in-law.
I don't know.
Yeah. She's a significant artist who's come out of this area, hasn't she?
Oh, definitely. She's had a fabulous career. She is a wonderful singer, a musician par excellence. And I imagine that she will be singing for us for many years to come. She is going to appear in the City Opera Vancouver's forthcoming commissioned opera called Pauline, and she will be featured in that production, and I'm really looking forward to that one, too.
Now, there were some of the famous names that we're familiar with in opera, people like Marilyn Horne and mm-hmm. Joan Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
They came to Vancouver early on, did they?
Yes. Joan Sutherland came in 1958, the first Vancouver International Festival opera, to sing Donna Anna in Don Giovanni. She came back in 1963, I think it was, to sing Norma, which is going to be the opening production of Vancouver Opera this fall. And Marilyn Horne came that year. Both Marilyn Horne and Joan Sutherland, well, Joan Sutherland was relatively unknown in North America in 1958. By 1963, everyone knew that here was a voice. Marilyn Horne was a little less well-known, but had a lovely voice, and the pairing of those two in Norma was just brilliant casting. It was a wonderful combination of voice.
Do you find that these big opera stars, that they come back even after they're famous, that they view Vancouver as sort of a place to play, an important place to play?
I can't say that. Joan Sutherland, in all, came five times, but she has never come back after 1978, I think, probably was 1977 was the last time she was here. I guess, really, it's partly a question of money, but I've been told that singers love to come to Vancouver. They're so well treated here by the opera company. They feel at home, and they consequently sing very well when they're here.
And how does the Vancouver company stack up with other North American companies, say those in New York or in Chicago?
I've never seen a Chicago production. But I can only go by what people who are more experienced than I in going to hear productions of various companies, and they always come home saying that what we see here is comparable, and sometimes even better than a big house like the Met or some of the other ones. My experience is too limited having my own opinion. I just go by what other people have told me.
What do you make of seeing operas from the Met? I mean, you can see those now at movie theaters.
Oh, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I haven't yet to see one. I'm determined to go this year. Everyone who goes says it's wonderful, and it certainly can't do opera any harm.
Yeah. Now, the word diva, that's been become misappropriated in the vernacular of popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that the people who use it on television, say, are using it inappropriately?
No. No. If someone is termed a diva, she is generally a well-known, well-established singer, first-rate name singer.
But they use it to describe women now who are particularly difficult. Is that where
I see what you're getting
at.
Yeah. That harks back to a much earlier age when women singers, and men too, would throw tantrums on the stage and be demanding and that sort of thing. Singers are not like that today. So It is understood in the vernacular, but it is misused in comparison with singers today. Singers today are hardworking, down-to-earth, approachable people.
What do you make of in the last 10, 15, 20 years or so of things like the Three Tenors or Andrea Bocelli, which have made opera perhaps a little more accessible?
Oh, I agree. I think that people have enjoyed them. I think they have done a service to opera, and people love that sort of thing. If they don't go to opera necessarily, they still know the arias, and they still love to hear them sung by great voices.
What I liked about this book is that it shows you how culturally savvy British Columbians are. As well as it's just a wonderful opportunity to look back at the history, the social history of our province. What do you think it says about BCers and our appreciation of the arts after writing this book? What do you think you've learned, say, about ourselves?
Well, I would say that most people value the arts. They may not necessarily be consumers of them, but they certainly recognize the importance of the arts in raising the level of our society to a more compassionate one and a more tolerant one. I think most people have that opinion.
You've done a great service, Rosemary, in writing this book. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck with the book.
Thank you very, very much, Mr. Planta, and thank you for your kind words about the book.
You're very welcome. The book is called Bravo, The History of Opera in British Columbia. It's published by Harbor. Its author, Rosemary Cunningham, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.